Daniel chapter 3, talking about the image of gold and the fiery furnace. And, you know, these are very, if you grew up in church, these are very familiar stories, very great stories. And, you know, Daniel, one of the ones of the Old Testament prophecy that spoke more about the coming days of the future, not only the future that's already past now, because he spoke about the kingdoms of the world coming that have now come and gone, but he also talked about the kingdom of Christ. And he prophesied about the Lord Jesus Christ coming, and he was letting all the other kings know that this kingdom will never end. All the other kings and all the other kingdoms will come and go. You know, so the message is, like, humble yourself and recognize that he is God and it's his kingdom. You know, when we live for ourselves or with the pride of life, as we see in Nebuchadnezzar's life, thinking that, you know, we're our own God, we're our own man, we are to do our own thing, it just doesn't work, because he's the creator and we're the created. And he created us for his glory, for his glory to come into our life and enjoy it and flow through our life. But it's good to recognize and humble ourselves, recognize, hey, there's a whole beautiful world around here, and you created it, and you created the plan, so I'm willing to submit to you. It takes us a while to recognize sometimes, hey, our way didn't work. Now we need to bow ourselves and look at, because God's plan for us is the best plan for our life. His plan for us is not a bad plan for your life. It's not a religious plan. It's the best life you can possibly have. Your best life is in Christ, his way. His way is the best and most happy and joyful life for you. Okay? People get a wrong idea about, religion. And like I said, I like to say me and God hate religion. Religion leads people away from the truth. There's all kind of religions out there. True Christianity isn't us trying to work so hard and make it to God. True Christianity is recognize we missed it and accepting him who came from heaven to earth, and he fixed it for us. Amen? So our faith is in him, and it changes us from within. Praise the Lord. Daniel chapter 3. Verse 1, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high and 9 feet wide and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And just to sum up this story, he made this great statue. Now, just about, you know, some years before, he had a dream of a big statue. And the statue we talked about a few weeks back was the image of, it had a gold head and silver and bronze. And he couldn't find someone to interpret the dream, but one of the exiles from when he came in and ransacked Solomon's temple and destroyed Jerusalem and took all the Jews back to Babylon with him. One of them was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We'll get to them in a minute. But Daniel had the spirit of the Lord in him, and he could interpret the dream and said, hey, King, you are that head of gold. Babylon is a great city and a great nation right now. It's all over there. You're the head. But after you, there's coming another kingdom. And then another. And then another. And just like Daniel prophesied, you can open the history books and see it. It has happened. Well, with that, you know, that could have humbled Nebuchadnezzar. He did acknowledge and say something like, well, we recognize, Daniel, that your God is the God of the revealer of mysteries. And look, I don't want anybody to speak against the God of Daniel. He didn't accept him as his God yet. He was saying, I recognize that Daniel's God knows some stuff. He's the one that revealed the mystery. He didn't take him as his God. He's still prideful, and he's thinking Daniel's God's one of the gods. And he's hearing, and he exalts Daniel. He puts him in a higher position and all of this. But yet, something's not right with his heart. Sometimes you can be touched, and, you know, God speaks to you and things. But then you can turn and get back into your old things and go your own way again, can't you? You know? So we need to relate and see. Here he is, shortly after that, He says, okay, Daniel said, you know, I'm the head of gold. Man, I'm just going to capitalize on this. So he makes a whole image of gold, but it's not to the God of Daniel. It's himself. He builds a 90-foot statue of himself, and it's all gold. And then he commands everyone in his kingdom at the time the flutes play and everything gather together. You got to bow. You got to fall on your face. You've got to lay prostrate and worship this image of gold representing him. Now look, back then, Babylon was a great city. Man, they have a historian. His name was Herodotus back then. And he wrote, and it's recorded not just in the Bible, but other historians around at the time. This is true history. Babylon was a nation. These stories in the Bible are facts of truth. And there's historical facts in there. Well, this historian described Babylon as the most renowned and strongest city of its time, built on a plain that straddled the Euphrates River, some on this side, some on that side. It had 90 miles of walls, some say 60 or 40 feet high, 60 feet wide. They say you can drive a four-horse chariot on the walls of Babylon and turn around on top of the wall. Those are big stone walls. It was a great city. Maybe you've heard of one of the seven wonders of the world, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. It was truly an impressive city, and everywhere he went to conquer, he conquered. Matter of fact, it was God who stirred him up and used him to judge Judah when the nation was divided, Israel and Judah, to come in and ransack the temple and take over Israel. Why? Because they had gone away from their God and judgment was due. But he used Nebuchadnezzar to do it. And Nebuchadnezzar comes in, does ransack the temple, does take the Jews into exile. But now, after hearing from Daniel and hearing the dream, here he makes this great statue and commands them to worship. Now, praise the Lord, we also see, I want you to look with me now, Daniel chapter 3, let's look at verse 4. Then the herald proclaimed loudly, this is what we are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. Because there was people of every language there. Not just the Jews, but other nations that they had conquered and brought into Babylon. As soon as you hear the sound of all the instruments, fall down and worship the image of gold of King Nebuchadnezzar, and whoever does not fall down and worship will be immediately thrown into a blazing furnace. Now I'm so glad in Christianity, Christ doesn't do it that way. It's not like when Islam was getting started and Muhammad had them go into a city and by the sword convert them or kill them. Christianity is free gift for whosoever will. You're not forced. You weren't forced to come to church here. You weren't forced to get up and be a part and worship. It's laid out. It's a kingdom of the heart. And it's open for whosoever is willing to believe it and come into it. Aren't you glad Christianity is that way? You know, we're to preach the gospel and share his love, but you can't force anyone to believe and receive it. So he told his disciples to go into a city, preach the word. If they receive it, stay there and teach them for a while. But if they don't, go outside the city, shake the dust off your feet, and go to the next one. I've learned we've had to do that. Okay? We reach out to many, many folks. Some want to hear it. Some want to come. Some want to be a part. Some stay for a little while and then leave. Amen? But some want to continue and stay and focus and hear and continue to grow. So while it grieves us to see anyone fall away, while it grieves Christ in us, when we first started this thing, every time somebody would leave or hurt or something like that, it would grieve me to the point of tears. And I had to get over it because God wants us to reach many, you know? I couldn't be the one who would administrate the daily task. They would tell me things and I would want to leave everybody in and forgive everybody for everything. That's my heart. That's my, you know, what's in me now. But I recognize, see, you know, sometimes you have to let them walk away and turn aside. We're going to preach the gospel for whosoever will. But for whosoever won't receive, it's on them. We love you. We want. So I have to sometimes focus, get the eyes off the one who fell, and rejoice for the one who's graduating today. Amen? So praise the Lord. We continue in that. And so here, he's saying, everybody worship me. He builds this, and the Bible says, let's move on a little bit further. Chapter 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king. See, they were turned in for not doing this. The other astrologers and magicians and leaders in that court would want to say, hey, they're not doing this. They wanted them killed. They were jealous of them. So they brought them in. The king questioned them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these had come from Israel. They were exiles. Replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods and worship the image of gold you have set up. Church, if he's willing to die for us, then I just challenge us all. Should we be willing to live for him? And if we're willing to live for him, are we also willing to die for him if need be? These guys were willing to die. They knew this wicked king had killed many people throughout many nations. He was ruthless and cruel. The king had it in their own power to speak life or death over someone. They could have someone killed or someone exalted. It was in their power at that time. You know, they could raise it up by his word, have these people killed. And they knew that. And yet they're saying, I'm going to stay true to my God no matter what this king. I will not bow down to worship false gods. You know, we're tempted in this life. You know, there's so many false gods and idols out there. Hollywood makes up idols. People worship and, you know, worship people, worship athletes, worship ideas, worship things, you know. Our God, there's one true God. He is the true God, and we bow our knee and we yield to him and him alone. So they chose not to. And they said, the God we serve is able to save us. But you know what? I like this line. They also said, but even if he chooses not to, we're still not going to bow down. You don't want to make a deal or say, Lord God, if you do this for me, then I will follow you. Don't get into that habit. Don't get into that. Well, God, I want to do this. I'm thinking about, you know, getting this job or doing this or doing that. Lord, if you do this, then I will be faithful in church. Then I will do this. He's God. We bow our knee. God, we're going to follow you. And if this plan doesn't work out, you have a different plan for me. I'm going to follow you regardless. Hello? Amen. Regardless, because you're God. I have recognized your God, and I'm going to do it your way. Well, if I do it this way and follow you in my business or follow you with my finances or follow, this might happen. If I follow you, my lawyer says do this, but in my heart, you're telling me to do this. Should I follow my lawyer and all my family is advising me to follow my lawyer about what they're doing about this custody battle, or should I follow you, God? You'll be tested on this. In many areas, are we going to do it the world's way just because that looks like the right way? You know, according to the wisdom of this world, God's way is much higher than man's ways. We've seen it over and over. Submit to him and he'll work out the rest. Praise the Lord. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious. How can these three Hebrews, who we wiped out their whole God already in the temple. We wiped out their land, he's thinking. I'm the king. Look, I've got this image of gold. How can these Hebrews defy me? And his arrogant pride rises up in him. An attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace 7 times hotter. He ordered his strongest soldiers to tie him up, throw him in. The Bible says in verse 22, the king's command was so urgent and the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Now watch what happens, praise the Lord. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men in the fire? We tied up and threw them in the fire." "Oh, certainly, king," he said, "but look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods." Hallelujah. When you submit to the Lord, commit to him and become his child, it doesn't say you're not going to go in the fire. It doesn't say you won't have fire. It doesn't say you won't have persecution, trouble. But praise the Lord, he said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." He'll be with you in the midst of it. In the midst of your trial, I want to encourage you, church, in the midst of a trial, an ongoing thing, things that people are talking and things are happening and it's swirling around and you're getting filled with fear or anxiety or worry or this or that. I'm telling you, hey, be at peace. Be of good cheer. Our Lord Jesus Christ has overcome the world and overcome the problem. And we can, here's a challenge to you. When those things happen, begin to rejoice in the middle of the fire. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. "Lord, you said you'll never leave me or forsake me. Lord, you said," praise the Lord, "you are with me. I quote your word. I believe in you. You're with me in the midst of this. So I'll choose to be at peace because it's your peace." Isn't that beautiful? Man, they pulled him out and they noticed there was nothing, not a hair on their head burned. Nothing was wrong. You know, he was with them. Let me sum up the next story for you and just say this, you know, but even that, it was just a few years later, you know, and still Nebuchadnezzar, after he saw Daniel interpret the dream, after he saw the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego rescue him, that fourth man was Jesus Christ, by the way, after he saw that, here just years later, now he has another dream in chapter 4, and he sees this tree, a great and mighty tree, and everything's enjoying the shade and the fruit of it. And then the tree's cut down to the ground, and it's bound, okay? And of course, he needs Daniel to interpret it for him. Daniel's grieved about this one because he's got to tell this king, not just that there's kingdoms coming after you, but what this dream says, something that's going to happen to you right away. You know, something's coming on you. And he told the king, he said, "Look, you know, you've been around us for a while. You've seen and heard about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's not, you haven't accepted as your God. Look, here's what's going to happen. God's going to take you and humble you. Here you go and building statues to yourself. You're not giving him glory for your life, but think it's all you that's built this job, that's built this kingdom, that's done these things, that maybe licked this addiction, that did these things. Well, let me tell you, hey, he's the God of all gods, and we can't do anything without him. He's the one true and living God." So here we go. Nebuchadnezzar, he finds himself just as Daniel said. Watch this. Flip with me. Now to Daniel chapter 4, verse 28. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar 12 months later. 12 months later from the time Daniel spoke it to him. And Daniel said, by the way, hey, Nebuchadnezzar, you can repent of this. You can repent and turn. And maybe God will change this. But he didn't. He continued in his own pride and arrogance and said, "All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar 12 months later as the king was walking on the roof of his royal palace. He said, 'Is not this the great Babylon I have built as a royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? I have built my power.'" You know, he's still arrogant. He's still thinking, The words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You'll be driven away from people and will live with wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. Seven times will pass by you until you humble yourself and bow and acknowledge the Most High as sovereign over kingdoms of men and gives authority to anyone he wishes. Now, you know what happened? What a story. You know, his mind was taken from him. He lost his mind. He was given like the mind of an animal. This is the king of the greatest nation on earth was sent out, and they had to put him out in the field. He became like an animal. His fingernails grew like the claws of a bird, his hair like the feathers. And he was out there without his right mind, and he was just eating grass like an ox, and the rain would come on, the dew would come on him. And he was out there for, he said, till seven times past, 7 years. And God said, until you acknowledge me. You know, some of us have been through struggles and have been warned and have trials and have things, and God started showing you something longer than 7 years ago. Some of you have been out there for 20 years. And other times, in different times, God has tried to get a hold of you and spoke to you, and we might have listened for a day and maybe said something and went back to doing things our own way. Well, you know, that was good, but you know, that was a good interpretation of the dream. I got a good word, but you know what? You know, you may be God over there, but I'm not going to follow you. I still want to do it my way. And finally, got a hold of you, put you in a place for, hey, that was 7 years. So we don't want to complain about 7 months, amen? Let's get it. Let's get it now, all of us. Not just fresh start, everybody in here and your families and your children and your children's children. There's one true God, and we need to humble ourselves and recognize he's king, he's Lord, and line up our life with what he says rather than our own way of thinking, our own way of doing things. Lord, you are God. You created the heaven and the earth. Jesus came to save us. I need to follow you instead of trying to get you to follow my idea. He's the Lord. So, praise the Lord. So 7 years passed and he humbled himself. Now watch the good news. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven and my sanity was restored. How many of you feel like you got your sanity back too? Amen. God delivered you some things and it brought your sanity back. You can see things more clearly. I praised the Most High, I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion, listen what he says, he's prophesying now. He's speaking the truth. This was a wicked king. Now he's got a changed heart. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. I remember the dream that Daniel interpreted, and it said, hey, maybe I'm here, but there's coming a kingdom after me and after me, and there's coming a new kingdom that's made out of, that's the rock, and it's going to hit and crush all, and this kingdom will never end. And now he's acknowledging it. He's finally acknowledging it. His kingdom will last forever. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of earth. Who can hold him back, his hand, and say, what have you done? Look at verse 36 with me. At the same time that my sanity was restored, look what God did for him. My honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven. He wasn't talking about it was Daniel's God anymore. He himself, and I believe Nebuchadnezzar got saved. I believe it took a while. It took some serious stuff. Well, this is my thought. I think we'll see him. I think we'll get to talk to him about it. I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. I think this story is really about pride. Just a couple other verses and I'm going to close with this. Put up on the board, if you would, for me back there, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7 through 9. And then we'll look at Proverbs 13, verse 10. Proverbs 9. Verse 7. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. You know, when you try to correct someone, give advice, speak to someone who's, you know, not a believer, it's just they hate you. Okay? Whoever corrects a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. But then it says at the end of verse 8, rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Amen? I see some of these men talking to Brad or Danny or others, and hey, you've had to tell me some hard stuff. Maybe they weren't willing to hear it the first time they came through, or weren't willing to hear it, you know, at sometimes, but then their heart grows soft and recognize, hey, I need a good rebuke. I need some correction. I need some discipline in my life. Speak to me. Rebuke a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. And then flip with me to Proverbs 13. And this will be our last verse today. Proverbs 13. Talking about pride and looking at Nebuchadnezzar's pride. The Bible says, pride only brings quarrels. The King James says it this way. I like what Andrew Womack teaches, and we teach this at the center too. Pride is the source of all contention. All contention. Contention is, you know, quarrelsome or strife or dissension or discord, opposite of unity there. Any of that, it's caused from pride. Someone's proud. Some people are proud, not willing to listen, not willing to yield to one another. And there's contention there. So pride is the source of all that. Okay? But wisdom is found in those who take advice. So as we're willing to yield our pride and hear and take advice from others, wisdom is found there. Here, Daniel had the wisdom of God. Nebuchadnezzar recognized and said in the first two chapters about Daniel's wisdom, your wisdom comes from God. And he recognized it, but he didn't heed to it. Are you hearing me? He recognized Daniel's wisdom, and then here comes the big statue he builds for himself, and he sees that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the right God. Some of you have seen over and over that the Christian's life, going to a spirit-led church, following him, married, taking care of their wife, taking care of their children, is blessing, and you've known it's the right thing. But you put it off and put it off and put it off, as Nebuchadnezzar did. And now, finally, after 7 years spent out with the mind of an animal, seeking out this drug and this pleasure and this thing and that thing, finally come to our senses and say, my way is not the right way. You're God. I need to humble myself and follow you and take advice and heed correction from those in authority around me to be able to receive, because wise folks receive correction. Other folks who don't rebel against it. Are you with me? Now, in closing, church, it's our Lord God's will that all of us follow him into abundant life. It's for everyone. It's for everyone. We have to humble ourselves in everything that we've done. I started off this year in prayer. You know, we can look at this and say, wow, River of Life is doing well. Fresh Start's doing well. Look what we've been doing for 13 years and seeing all this. And look what. But you know what? Even all that, it's him. We humble ourselves and say, Lord God, You know, we can't just go by our record of the past of what's happening. We have to humble ourselves as leaders of the church, as people pray and as staff members ever say, Lord God, if you lead me and guide me today, without your presence, this won't work. Without your presence, we can't, you know, I've got nothing to say to pastors in Zimbabwe unless it's you.